Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, saints. Thank you for tuning into the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Telecast. This is the late night edition, and it's actually called the Restoration Edition. And this is very powerful because the Lord has put it in my spirit to share a word. I mean, the part we just left off on the earlier broadcast was so powerful, and there was such an impact that way back to him, because all of us in another situation. Before we do anything, let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you asking you to forgive us for all of our sins and shortcomings, and for all of our faults and our wrongs. We thank you for everything, Father, and we ask that you minister to us tonight, early morning, that we might take this with us and just that we might remember what it is that you're saying to us and want us to know. We love you, and we ask that you help us to show you that, and please bless this anointed message. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray. Even for those that you have handpicked to sit before the radio broadcast. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'd like to ask you to turn to Genesis. Now, you're going to need about four bookmarks. One put in Genesis 2. You're going to need one to put in Genesis 3. You're going to need one in Hebrews chapter 6, and you're also going to need one to put in 1 John chapter 1. It's very important to do this so that way, as the Lord lead us to go through the scriptures, you can be thoroughly prepared. Okay? And while you are doing that, the Lord is going to lead me, as the custom is, as most of you know, to read the description of the lesson while you are putting those bookmarks in certain places. Okay? Thank you, Lord. People have been passing a buck for a long time. It started Adam, the buck in the Garden of Eden, was Satan. And that was because he knew that he was wrong. And was God also knew that Satan was wrong and up to no good, because Satan lost the position that God gave him before Adam and Eve was ever created. Cherub that protected God's holiness. Udetar. Against God's holiness, the third of the angels who became demons following him. God knows that wherever Satan is, will follow him. There's always someone willing to see how the enemy just attacks stuff. He just doesn't like the way God uses the ministry. Let's try this again. Okay? People have been passing a buck for a long time. It started with Adam and then with Eve. The only one who didn't pass the buck in the Garden of Eden was Satan. And that was because he knew that he was wrong and was fine with it. God also knew that Satan was wrong and up to no good, because Satan lost the position that God gave him before Adam and Eve was ever created. He was the cherub that protected God's holiness. Then he led a rebellion against God's holiness with a third of the angels who became demons following him. God knows that wherever Satan is, he will always be up to no good. So are those that follow him. There's always someone waiting to receive what God gave you when you yourself have so easily neglected it. Sure, your blessing is for you and no one else, but there are some things that God knows that you just aren't ready for, but he will allow you to see them and sometimes even allow them to be at your fingertips, at our fingertips, but he knows that we're going to forfeit. So he provides a way for us to make it right that way is confession. Repent means to turn away from. But how can you turn away from something unless you acknowledge that you've gotten into something? How can you acknowledge that you've gotten into something unless you first admit that you're wrong about something? So first, we must acknowledge the right ways according to God. Then we must confess that we went the wrong way against God. Then we can repent or turn away from the wrong way that we went. Until we do that, we're just in the wrong. Our fellowship with God is just broken. We can't blame anyone but ourselves. God told us what to do and tried to warn us what not to do, but we didn't listen. Now we have to come back to Him, but first we must admit that we are the ones in the wrong. Now, what we're going to do as the Lord leads is we're going to read certain scripture, and I'm going to read out of the Living Bible, and I'm going to be reading kind of fast so that we can stay up with the time God has given us. So stay up with me, please. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, it reads on this wise. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden as his gardener to tend and care for it. But the Lord God gave the man this warning: you may eat any fruit in the garden except fruit from the tree of conscience, for its fruit will open your eyes to make you aware of right and wrong, good and bad. If you eat its fruit, you will be doomed to die. So he was telling him, well, let me go further. And the Lord God said, it isn't good for man to be alone. I will make a companion for him, a helper suited to his needs. So the Lord God formed from the soil every kind of animal and bird and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. So God was saying here that he told Adam what not to do. You know what? I'm going to go into the King James on this. I'm going to go into the King James. I see the spiritual struggle right now. I'm going to read it again. Genesis 2 and 15 from the King James Version. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now let's jump down to verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now we're going to read Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, let's jump over to Hebrews, praise God, chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. Scripture says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection. Now, this I'm led by the Holy Ghost to read out of the Living Bible, so that way it's in plain English, so that way it'll be better understood. Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 6, it says, let us stop going over the same old ground again and again, always teaching those first lessons about Christ. Let us go on instead to other things and become mature in our understanding, as strong Christians ought to be. Surely we don't need to speak further about the foolishness of trying to be saved by being good or about the necessity of faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptism and spiritual gifts and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. The Lord willing, we will go on now to other things. There is no use trying to bring you back to the Lord again if you have once understood the good news and tasted for yourself the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Ghost and know how good the Word of God is. Let me read that again. There is no use trying to bring you back, pay attention, to the Lord again if you have once understood the good news and tasted for yourself the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Ghost and know how good the Word of God is, and felt the mighty powers of the world to come, and then have turned against God. You cannot bring yourself to repent again if you have nailed the Son of God to the cross again by rejecting him, holding him up to mocking and to public shame. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And as the Lord leads, we'll go forward after that. Verse 9 and 10 of 1 John chapter 1 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The title or the thought that God gave me for this lesson is, when God said to come back to him, he gave you the permission to come back and the strength to. The title of the lesson is, what did God do wrong to you? Is he at fault for you leaving him? Your problem is you, not God. And in some cases, not even Satan, but you. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive us for our sins, and as we come before you, please minister to us this brief, short word of rebuke, correction, encouragement, training, and instruction out of love. And help us to receive it. Give us a receiving spirit, and just minister to us. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray. Amen. Adam and Eve was given the Garden of Eden by God. Overall, that's what happened. He put Adam in it. He told him to decorate it and to protect it, guard it. And then God saw Adam was alone. No one was on his level. So God made a helpmeet for him, a suitable helper, which was a wife. And Adam told his wife what God said about, you know, what to do in the garden, what not to do. There were two trees in the middle of the garden. One was the tree of life. The other one was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, don't eat from that tree, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So when Satan used the body of a serpent, he came and he had dialogue with Eve, and he asked her, did God really say don't eat from this tree? And Eve, she said, God said, every tree that they can eat from, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they shouldn't eat from it nor touch it, or they may die, lest they die. She ate from it after she saw it was good to the eyes. It was good for food. It was good to make one wise. She ate from it. She gave some to her husband. He ate some too. Then they were ashamed. They realized they were naked. The voice of God came walking through the garden in the cool of the day. Adam grabbed his wife. They hid, Scripture says. And this is after they sewed fig leaves on themselves for coverings and everything. And then the Lord called Adam and said, "Where are you?" And Adam said, "I heard you coming, and I was afraid. So me and my wife, we hid." And God said, "Who told you? Why was you afraid?" Adam said that he hid because he was afraid. This is what he said to God. I'll read it again out of the Living Bible. And I'm going to read that either they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, and they hid themselves among the trees. The Lord God called to Adam, "Why are you hiding?" And Adam replied, "I heard you coming and didn't want you to see me naked, so I hid." And God said, "Who told you that you were naked?" And then God asked him, "Have you eaten fruit from the tree I warned you about?" So Adam blamed it on his wife. She gave it to me. The woman you made and gave to me, she gave it to me. And God asked Eve, "What is this that you did?" And Eve said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." That's what happened. And then they were put out of the garden, unfortunately. They lost a serious blessing that God gave them, an elevation, a place, a position that God gave them and put them in. They lost it. It was forfeited. God knew that they were going to mess it up. He knew. He knew what Satan was going to do. He knew he was going to use the body of a serpent. He knew Satan was going to deceive Eve. He knew Satan was going to challenge her. He knew that Eve was going to eat the fruit and give some to her husband. God knew all this. But Scripture says the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the world. Scripture is saying is it was already discussed beforehand and decided upon by God that Jesus was going to have to come here and rectify sin. He was going to have to come here and bring man back to God. He was going to have to come here and correct the devil, to rebuke him. This is what was going to happen. So when God made Adam and Eve, when he put them in the garden, he knew that they were going to mess up. God knew when he blessed us, when he called us into ministry, when he blessed us with the things he blessed us with, when he joined us in our marriage, when he gave us the new job, when he allowed us to have the new car, when he blessed us with a level of financial stability. God knew what we were going to do when he did that. He knew. He knew. It didn't stop him from letting us have these things, though. It didn't stop him from doing these things. It didn't stop him from blessing us to be called by him in ministry. He even told the disciples, he said, "I've chosen all 12 of you, yet one of you is the devil." But Judas, let's use him. He was so far gone, and because it was prophesied in Scripture that he was going to do just what he did, it was impossible for him to change. There are some people that left God. And those of us that are prayer warriors, those of us that walk with God, those of us that are holding people up in prayer, we see people fall. People that God has warned us about and blessed us to go to these people and warn them and to tell them, God said, don't take that step, because if you take that step, you're going to fall. And they didn't listen. And they fell. And it's hard to bring them back. God said, those of you that are trying to minister to someone who has left God, and you're getting stressed out and grieved, whether it's a family member or a friend or a mate or a loved one, meaning if you're a man and this is your wife, and if you're a woman and this is your husband, if they have walked with God and fell, it's hard to bring them back. Don't let yourself get stressed out. Pray for them, yes. Talk to God about them, yes. Intercede for them, yes. All that. but don't let it stress you out. Scripture says in Hebrews 6, verse 4 in the Living Bible, it says, there's no use trying to bring you back to the Lord again if you have once understood the good news and tasted for yourself the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Ghost and know how good the Word of God is and felt the mighty powers of the world to come and then have turned against God. It says you cannot bring yourself to repent again if you have nailed the Son of God to the cross again by rejecting him, holding him up to mocking and to public shame. It's hard to do it. You can't. See, sometimes we get so far gone that by the time we realize what we've done, we're stuck. We've fallen and can't get up. The Lord taught me when you're in a strong state, he taught me to do this, and I often, with his help, do this. He taught me when you're in a strong state, it's best to store up a prayer for yourself. Those of you that are real strong, let's do that right now. Let me show you. Just join with me in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive us for our sins. We ask, Lord, that you keep us strong before you. And if there's any time when we fall and we need a word and we've fallen and it's hard for us to get up and you send someone to warn us, to minister to us, to pray for us, to come and be used by you to restore us, please honor the prayer. We ask you now while we're strong, so that way, if and when it happens, oh God, we know that you won't have to struggle with our will, because right now we're telling you while we're in our spiritual right mind to restore us. Please hear the prayer that they pray when they pray for us. And we give you permission to restore us. Oh, glory. In Jesus' name we thank you and we pray. Amen. It's hard to be restored once you have left God. There's sometimes that you can fall and get back up and the Lord will brush you off and put you right back where you started and then pick up from there, like what he did with Jonah. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. He got on a boat at Joppa and tried to cross the Mediterranean Sea, got thrown in the water. A great fish was appointed by God to swallow him up. Jonah sat in his fish belly, being choked by seaweed, the stomach gases and stuff all over him. He stank. He became discolored and all of this stuff. And finally, when he realized after 3 days and three nights that this is just too much, I can't take this. Lord, I will do what you told me to do. Then the Lord had the fish vomit him right back up. And guess what? He was vomited right up where he started running from. And then he went and did what God told him to do. Of course, he was discolored. Of course, he stank. He smelled real bad. You know, he brought that on himself. But he went and did what God told him to do. That's one example of how God will pick you up, brush you off, and put you right back where you started running from so that God can give you the opportunity to uproot what you've done, turn back around and go the right way and do it the right way. Then there's times where you can fall away, and even though God has mercy on us and he helps us get back up, some things are just not retractable. For example, Adam and Eve, the Lord did, he got rid of those fig leaves and God clothed them with animal skins, but they still had to be put out the garden. It still happened. They were put out in the garden. They couldn't go back to the tree of life because otherwise they would eat from it and live in their sins forever. And they'd still be here right now. And as wicked as man is, right now they probably would have jumped Adam and Eve. They probably would have beat them up because of the destiny that all of us face. So there's sometimes You can fall, but yet be restored and have another chance. But then sometimes you can fall, and God will still pick you up and polish you off, and he'll tell you, you just got to have to wait until another season because you blew it. You messed that one up, and you messed it up bad. Sometimes when we fall, and even when we sin against God, you know, thank you, Lord. Sometimes you can hurt a person so bad to where it should be hard for them to give you another chance. Sometimes we can do that to God. And certain things we just lose. We forfeit. God knew it was going to happen before he blessed us to have it, before he gave it to us. But we just forfeit. Listen, brethren. Let's ask God to strengthen us. Let's try to move forward in the things of God. The Lord is saying to pray for somebody who's struggling. Struggling. You're trying to get out of that bondage you're in, and it's hard for you to do it. Prayer warriors, join with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive us for our sins. The person, whoever it is, Lord, that you're talking about, Lord, bring them out of that bondage they're in. That person that's listening to this broadcast that's saying, Father, help me because I don't know how to come out of this. Lord, we stand together as one, and we are touching and agreeing with them and saying, Lord, please bring them out. Please bring them out, Lord. Please bring them out, Father. Open the door. Make the way, Lord. Send them a lifeline, which is your anointing, and bring them out. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. There's someone, Lord, that's asking you. They don't even know how they got jammed up. They don't know how they fell. They don't know how they got caught up in bondage. Lord, open the door and show them. Remind them, Lord, how you warned them. Send somebody to tell them. Lord, we ask that you bring their flesh under subjection right now. That, Lord, as they lay down to sleep, that, Lord, you tie them down, Lord, and that you minister to them, that you feed them, oh God. Feed them the truth. Feed them your word. Encourage them. Show them what happened. And give them the strength to get up and get right. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray for them. Oh, Lord, we thank you for hearing us. We thank you for answering us. We ask that you help them because they need you. They need your encouragement. They need your strength. They need your anointing. They need your power. Please have mercy, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord is the Lord of a second chance. He will give you a second chance. Sometimes that second chance might not include the blessing you just had. The Lord might give you a second chance at marriage because the first one just got messed up. Irreparable. And after you learn what you've done wrong, after the Lord began to reveal to you, then he may say to you, it's all right because I'm going to bless you to be married again. But when you go into this next marriage and I'm getting ready to bless you and don't go with all that. Yeah, the Lord would rather that we be married to one person and one person only, stay with them the rest of our life till death do us part. Divorce was never in the will of God, and it still isn't. But he said in Scripture, if you look at Matthew chapter 19, Scripture says these words right here. And this was Jesus doing the talking. He said it out of his own mouth. If you have a Bible, it's written in red. Verse 1, after Jesus had finished the address, he left Galilee and circled back to Judea from across the Jordan River. Vast crowds followed him, and he healed their sick. Some Pharisees came to interview him and tried to trap him into saying something that would ruin him. Do you permit divorce, they asked. Don't you read the scriptures, he replied. It is written that at the beginning God created man and woman, and that a man should leave his father and mother and be forever united to his wife. The two shall become one, no longer two, but one. And no man may divorce what God has joined together. This is what he said. And then he said, they said, then why, they asked, did Moses say a man may divorce his wife by merely writing her a letter of dismissal? Jesus replied, Moses did that in recognition of your hard and evil heart, but it was not what God had originally intended. Jesus meant that. But he understands, because of the hardness of our heart, there's some things in the marriage that we just can't tolerate. I mean, after you've been beat for so long, sometimes it's hard to deal with that. It's hard to go forward with that. A person to beat the love right out of you. Sometimes after a person that cheated on you and been unfaithful to you, and you know, some people bring diseases home, and after all of that, it's hard. And God knows it. We might think that we are totally forgiven, but we're really not, because there's a limit that all of us have. And God knows this, because that is part of our personality. Yet God is a God of a second chance. He's a God that will bless you with a second marriage, if that's what he blesses you to have. Because sometimes for us, that's what it takes. Sometimes it takes a second chance for us. It does. This is scripture. It takes a second chance. It really does. Under the law, between God and Israel, it was one thing. But in the New Testament, the Lord, he grace and mercy became sure enough available. We're under the dispensation or the period where grace is the system we're under. So, prayer warriors, let's pray for those that we know that have fallen and can't get up. Let's pray for them. Because it's, and listen, again, don't let them stress you out, because there's people God used you to minister to, and they just don't seem to get it. They'll laugh, they'll act like it's funny and all of that, and tee-hee-hee and ha-ha-ha. Don't let it stress you. Just look at them and go, you know, Scripture talked about this. And tell them, the Bible says, it is impossible to restore you. It's going to take God. He's the only one that can do it. And you'd be surprised what that word might do to them. That will stop a person from laughing and smiling. That will cut a giggle. Person can laugh at you. And you tell them, listen, it's all right, because the Bible says. And once you say the Bible says, the devil and all of hell get upset because you get ready to use the word. You get ready to swing the sword of the Spirit. And you just say, listen, the Bible said it is impossible to restore you. The devil don't like that. And neither will the person in bondage. But the truth is the truth. Only one that can restore them is God. We just have to pray for them in secret so God can reward them openly. And we can see openly how God is rewarding us because of our prayer and how God is moving. He loves us. He don't want us to away from him. He don't want us to stay in sin in the fall. That's why the thought that God gave me was, when God said come back to him, he gave you the permission to come back. When you hear God say, come back to me, when he said that, he's giving you the strength to. The permission is in to come back. That when he says that, all doors are open for you to come back. Just go to, just get up and go to him. And the title is, what did God do wrong to you? Is he at fault for you leaving him? Your problem is you, not God, and in some cases, not even Satan, but you. Eve said that Satan beguiled her, the serpent beguiled her. Yes, he did trick her, but her problem, she the one ate the fruit. The enemy didn't he didn't choke her, he didn't grab her by the throat. He didn't lay her down and force her to eat the fruit. He didn't knock her down and forced the fruit in her mouth. He didn't do that. Neither did he do it with Adam. Eve did not do it to Adam. So Adam said, the woman you made for me and gave to be me, she made me eat. She gave to me and I ate. Yeah, but she didn't make you do it. Do you understand, saints? Don't ever let anyone trick you into thinking that you have to sin. Sure, we do. According to the flesh, we're in this flesh. We are going to sin. We are going to. But you don't have to do it and enjoy it. You don't have to want to sin. Not at all. You don't have to want to sin. Thank you, Lord, for that revelation. God said we are going to sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. But you don't have to want to sin. Paul wrote in Romans 7, he said, it seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love to do God's will as far as my new nature is concerned. This is what he said. As far as him being a Christian, he want to do God's will. He want to. But he falls. He want to do God's will. He said, but there is something else deep within me in my lower nature that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. We shouldn't want to sin. We're going to, but we shouldn't want to. We shouldn't want to. We should want to get right with God. Let's close with this prayer. Father, forgive us for our sins. We know you've done nothing wrong to cause us to leave you. The fault is not with you. It is with us. The issue is not with you. It is with us. Give us the strength we need, Father, to walk right before you. Give us the strength we need to get up out of this bondage and to come back to you. Give that Christian that have fallen into the addiction, the spirit of addiction, of bondage, of crack cocaine, give them the strength to come out. That Christian that have fallen into that homosexual lifestyle, give them the strength to come out. Christian that is in the ministry, that left the ministry because of it being too hard and how people just hurt and persecute the minister, give them the strength to go back. Even if you got to move those carnal saints out the way so that the minister can do what you called him or her to do, give them the strength to come back. Please, Father. If we don't get up, we can't do what you call us to do. Please, Father. We don't want to sin. Some of us are single. You promised us marriage, and we're waiting. And in the process, the enemy is trying to trick us and deceive us and sending all kind of people into our path to try to get us to let them in our life. And we hear you saying no. But there's some people that have fallen and allowed the wrong person in their life. Now all hell, meaning all of hellish activity, demonic activity and attack, has broken loose and is permeating their life, is infiltrating their home, trying to mess up their walk with you. Lord, please deliver them. Move that person out of the way of the one that's trying to do right. That man who has married that wayward woman that's out there in the street, and she's very carnal. She came into the marriage talking holy, acting holy and everything, and the brother thought she was holy. And once he said, I do, and a little while went by, the other side came out. Her true colors began to be shown. And now the brother is saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. I can't just walk out of the marriage. Well, Lord, we're asking you to move her out the way. We're asking you to tally up everything and settle the account and fix it. that woman that had married that man because that man claimed to be a believer, claimed to be a Christian, and came into woman of God life at a time when she was walking with you, and the devil sent him to deceive her, and her guard dropped one night, one time, and she let him in her life and haven't been able to get him out since. Lord, please dispense angels to rescue her, to move that man out of the way. Your people need a second chance. There's someone that you have blessed, Lord, with financial stability. You gave them the gift of giving. You told, they made an agreement with you. They said, Lord, if you bless me with a job, or if you bless me to go back to work, or Lord, if you bless that lawsuit to come through, or Lord, if you bless me to receive the back pay of my disability, or Lord, if you bless me to have this or that, or to that the deal to go through, or if you do that, Lord, I will be a blessing in such and such a way and to such and such a ministry, and however you lead me, and Lord, you bless them, and they didn't keep their word. And now they're possibly getting ready to be blessed again. And they're asking you earnestly, Lord, please don't let me mess up this time. Please help me to keep my word. They're saying, Lord, please give me sense, S-E-N-S-E, with dollars. Please do it, Father. Please hear them. Your people need another chance tonight, this morning. Please move, Father, in a mighty way. We love you so much. There's no wrong in you, no fault